The NBA season closes in Houston for the second straight year for the Utah Jazz. A great battle, but the same old story of the entire series comes to bite the Utah Jazz as it comes to it. Our final postcast is next. That sucks. I hate when the season ends. All right, this is brought to you by The Store at 600 South and 20th East. Check out. Just do me a favor. Between now and next year when we do another postcast, go have a mudslide cookie. You'll say thank you. 600 South, 20th East.
What about the ice cream?
Well, sure, get locked on mudslide ice cream and get the Loch Ness Monster ice cream and all the other stuff. Thanks to The Store for sponsoring the program. We super appreciate it. We'll be there getting all our barbecue stuff all year. Well, it's thank you guys, first of all. It feels funny to recap a game that has no tomorrow. We'll do it here for a second. But I want to thank you guys. You've been great loyal listeners. We have the greatest fan base. Ron and I, not humbly, will admit that I think we work harder and prepare more than any broadcast crew in the league. But we do it because of the fan base that we do it for. It's very easy to work hard for you guys. So I want to say thank you in that regard. All right, let's get to the game tonight. You know, the Rockets really win this game in what I think is a championship manner. They win the game in the opening minutes of the first quarter, the closing minutes of the second quarter, and the opening moments of the third quarter. The Jazz outplayed them badly in all other aspects of the game, but they opened the game 8-0. They opened the third quarter, I think it was 10-0, and they closed the second quarter 11-1. But those are, to me, that is really representative of a team that is looking to hang another one of those banners compared to another team that's competing in a game that doesn't quite know yet what it is to try to win a playoff series.
When you have a team like this Rockets team, where I think they're built to win a championship. I mean, with the type of players that they have that fit the system, they complement what D'Antoni wants out there on the floor. Now, can certain teams take some of that away from them? Yes, because I think the Jazz did. But they still won the basketball game because of the talent they have. And I think that says a lot for a team like this is destined, I think, to maybe even get to the NBA Finals. The Jazz wanted certain things out of them. They wanted them to play a certain way. The Rockets couldn't shake that. As you said earlier, from 122 points in the first game all the way down to 91 last night, the other night in Salt Lake City, and then what they have tonight, end up scoring just 100. The Jazz defended them as well as probably as any team in the NBA has done.
The Jazz came out with this radical, crazy defense on the first night to guard James Harden from behind. It seemed weird. It seemed strange. Quinn kept trying to explain it to people. They don't play pick and roll. We're trying to defend them like it's pick and roll. We're the number one pick and roll team in the league. We don't want to put them on the foul line. We don't want them taking a step back three. We have to treat it like it's pick and roll. The problem is Capella starts at the bottom, so it's very difficult. And as the series went on, this system worked more and more and more. James Harden, frankly, was not very good in this series.
He struggled because of certain shots that the Jazz want him to shoot. He's not good at, and that's just smart basketball. That's just Jazz forcing players to play out of the element, I guess, is a good way of putting it. But, you know, you can't shut a guy like James Harden down all night long. Sooner or later, he's gonna get something. But the Jazz did a great job of keeping him under his average, keeping him off the free throw line, and forcing other players to beat them.
Joshua points out, why Rubio shooting transition threes continues to be a thing, I'll never know. I bet he's made less. So let's not beat him up, but here's the point of that comment, where I think it's really astute. In that opening stretch, which we're talking about here, where Harden is of the opening of the third quarter, that was Rubio's answer to try to quell the run, was to take a pull-up off the bounce three, which he makes at about 22%.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we just weren't there yet. There, just the amount of little mistakes we made in game three that cost us game three, the lack of time and score, completely understanding, or maybe, frankly, having a roster where other than Donovan, and he's 4 of 22 tonight, the definition of whose turn that is not really clear. Like, for their team, it's pretty clear. It's Harden's turn or Chris Paul's turn or Eric Gordon's turn, in that order. And Eric Gordon, when he turned the corner, made a big play at one point in the game because he got the opportunity, and Chris Paul carried James Harden for a little while. We don't have that. And so that play to me, I'm not trying to beat up Ricky, is very symbolic of kind of what was just a little short in this series was the the cherishing of every possession. But part of the reason you don't cherish every possession is you don't exactly know what the pecking order is.
Yeah, it's amazing how you can look at that a little different, though. It was a shot that if it went in, it was huge.
It was Rubio's heart.
Right. Thinking ahead of
beyond his talent.
Right, exactly.
That's the essence. That's also how he got an incredible rebound, right?
Right. So, other than the fact that he was not making shots in this basketball game, that the Houston Rockets wanted Rubio to shoot him. They wanted Jay Crowder to shoot him. Grace Crowder has responded here in the last two ball games. But Ricky, you know, continues to struggle in that area. So we're beating him up for taking that shot. But it's also a shot that you feel like you got to take it there.
Well, and if you're looking at your guy, Donovan Mitchell, who's 4 of 22 tonight,
exactly,
and 0 of 9 from 3, and somebody else has got to make this play right now to stop this run. It's not going to be him right now. He's not on. And might have even been after Quinn pulled him to open the third. I mean, Donovan was just dead tired, I think, tonight after, you know, carrying this team. And who else are you looking to, right? Like, you don't. Like, so, and that's my point. Is like, yeah, it's not a great shot. I agree with you. It's a terrible shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Paul George wants to talk about a bad shot. That's a bad shot.
Yeah.
But the next option wasn't obviously clear, and I think that's part of where they're going to go. The most exciting part of this game and this playoff series was Royce O'Neal. A year ago, Royce O'Neal starts 5 games against Houston when Rubio gets hurt. He had not started 5 games all season, so he handled himself fairly well tonight. The Jazz did, Royce O'Neal really did a pretty nice job. I mean, he really was great. He defended the heck out of Harden, and he offensively was the guy that actually was knocking down shots.
Well, from looking at this, I think he led the Jazz in scoring tonight. He had 18 points, 8 for 13 from the field in 33 minutes. And he, watching him play, he was the only one that could break the paint consistently. You know, how often he got in there and was able to make plays. So you're absolutely right. This probably was one of his more efficient games, offensively and defensively, or series rather, than what we've seen out of him in the 2 years he's been here.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. The Jazz will likely have Rudy Gobert in a award ceremony for Defensive Player of the Year. Donovan Mitchell's forever growth will have some really sour memories of this. I have no doubt on Donovan, but as you watch Donovan Mitchell needs to pick up the phone and talk to Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
That, you know, the 7-year veteran made the play last night. He's been through a lot of hell. He's been swept in playoff series. He lost 8 straight games. He knows Donovan's path has been accelerated. And he had a tough series. He made some great plays, but he also had a tough series. And he's going to have to learn from it.
Well, his sophomore year, I think, was good for the most part. If you look at, I think he led all sophomore players in scoring and, you know, yada, 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 yada. But his sophomore year, as far as the playoffs are concerned, was something different. And that's something you'll grow with there as well. I mean, he's a very talented player. I think he has some good tutoring, some good teaching there with Johnny Bryant. And I think he continues to get better. Now, the key for him is working on things. Now, they'll have probably clean out the lockers tomorrow. They'll have meetings with individual coaches, and they'll give him things that they want him to work on over the summer. And believe me, he will be working on those things over the summer.
Well, here's what I will remind you with on Donovan. Good players do not improve from year 1 to year 2.
Yeah, that's
they
the
improve
we talk
from year
so
2
much
to
about
year
the
3.
Sophomore year, right.
They year not very good players can improve year 1 to year 2. Good players improve year 2 to year 3.
Yeah.
Thank you all very much. It was a fun series, a fun season. We'll see what the Rockets do against the Warriors. Thanks very much for tuning in, and have a great offseason. Locked On Jazz will continue on a daily basis. Whether it comes out tomorrow, it'll happen at some point. I will sleep for a long time. See ya.